Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read Odessa American for March 15th, 2023. Parks and Rec to host barbecue cook-off. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation, in partnership with the Odessa Jackalopes, will be hosting its inaugural Barbecue Masters and Cornhole Bracket Battle on March 18th at the Ector County Coliseum. This event will feature March Madness, tailgating with hospitality tents, and five large-screen TVs for guests to watch their favorite college basketball team, the press release detailed. The tailgating section is free and open to the public, and the Jackalopes will have concession stands available for guests. The event will also feature a barbecue cook-off sanctioned by the International Barbecue Cookers Association, one of the first for the Parks and Recreation Department. Barbecue teams can cook three types of meat in the cook-off and will be competing for over $4,000 worth in prizes. Teams will also receive four tickets to the Jackalope Games that night, courtesy of Odessa Jackalopes. Barbecue cook-off. The entry fee for the barbecue tournament is $150 for all meat categories. There will be 31 spots for the cook-off. Teams can be any size. The tray pickup and cooks meeting will happen at 7 p.m. Friday. Turn-in time on Saturday, 12 o'clock p.m. chicken, 1:30 p.m. pork spare ribs, 3 p.m. brisket. Meats to be cooked: half chicken, complete with wing, breast, thigh, and leg, pork spare ribs, 8 individual pork spare ribs, brisket, 8 full slices. Cornhole tournament. This event also features a cornhole tournament where guests of any skill level are welcome to join the cornhole tournament for $30 and compete for some great prizes. Registration starts at 8:15 a.m. and the tournament begins at 9 a.m. First place prize, custom cornhole boards. Second place prize, cornhole bags and a $75 gift card. Third place prize is a $50 gift card. Proceeds from the barbecue cook-off and cornhole tournament will benefit the City of Odessa Parks Foundation. ECSO arrests juvenile in connection to shooting. On March 14th, the Ector County Sheriff's Office posted on its Facebook page that its Criminal Investigation Division is executing a search warrant in the 1300 block of Whitaker Avenue concerning a murder that happened at 5:47 p.m. on December 19, 2022. ECSO detailed in the post that a male juvenile has been arrested in connection with murder and has been transported to the Ector County Youth Center at this time. The original report from ECSO on December 19th detailed deputies were dispatched to 13953 Firewater Trail in reference to a gunshot victim. During the investigation, it was determined that 19-year-old Jeremiah Padilla was shot and died at the scene. Ella Noel hosting Spring Break Drop-In. If you find yourself with some free time this spring break, you can stop by the Ella Noel Art Museum for Spring Break Drop-In for exhibits, events, and some free books from the Little Free Library. Tuesday was the first day. Admission is free, educator Annie Stanley said. We always try to have something going on or just remind people that we're open because we know a lot of families can't leave for spring break. And they're looking for things to do around town, Stanley said. The museum is now in the Presidential Archives at 4919 East University Boulevard. The Ellen Noel is undergoing a revamp and renovation. Stanley said they have been in the Presidential Archives building since September 2022. This is a beautiful building we've settled in. We haven't had to cancel anything. We're doing all the same amount of programming that we did before. I think it's working out really well, she added. A couple of the current exhibits are Thomas Hart Benton and the Navy and Censorship Controversy and Scandal, both of which run through May 28th. Both are on loan from the Navy Art Collection. A book talk is scheduled for 6 p.m. March 23rd for those 18 and older. It's on Boom or Bust, Narrative, Life, and Culture from the West Texas Oil Patch. It will be a discussion with Chris Bartlett, Daniela Garcia, and Edith Vandervoort. A bookmaking workshop is set for 1:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. March 25th. The cost is $50 and spots are limited. It offers a chance to create a unique book that can be used for a travel journal, baby book, or special gift. The instructor is Kate Mahoney, and all supplies will be provided. A wearable art workshop is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. April 15th. $50 registration in advance only. Spots are limited. The next community art day is 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. April 15th, and it's free. It's a chance to help celebrate spring and find out about upcoming summer programs such as TARP and summer art camps. There will be art stations and visits from community partners such as the Odessa High School Harp Ensemble, the Ector County ISD Early Childhood Program, and Basin PBS. A Penguin Random House representative will be on hand April 27th.
Odessa American Opinion Page, published Saturday, March 11th, 2023. Our View. Hovind's fairy tale time just keeps on rolling. The Point. It's getting to the point where you can't believe anything the mayor of Odessa says. Well, fairy tale time with Odessa Mayor Javier Hovind continues. Last week, we called out Hovind for spinning a web of lies about the liberal effort to take down conservatives. He had written an opinion piece for the Midland Reporter-Telegram attacking the Odessa American and Texas Monthly and accusing both publications of spreading false narratives. We reminded readers our stories are based on open meetings and records requested through the Texas Public Information Act. We also detailed how Hovind accidentally revealed why we haven't received a single email between himself and T2 Professional Consulting, a firm that was miraculously hired to help replace city manager Michael Marrero within mere hours of Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks being fired. We requested the emails because we wanted to know more about this mysterious company, how Hovind came to know about them, and most importantly, when he began working with them. During a February 14th interview with an OA reporter, Hovind casually mentioned emails. The one thing that I was taught, you get an email, you destroy it. You don't keep anything, he said. This is what's actually taught in every faction. Destroy this, this, and this. You just delete. You keep nothing. Public officials are required to keep their email dealing with public business, regardless of whether the email is related to a government-issued email address or a private one. Well, on Monday morning, Hovind went on a local radio program to continue his Far From Facts tour. During the interview, a listener texted a question about deleting his official government emails pertinent to T2. Here's his response at the program's 7:21 a.m. mark. I didn't. I don't have any government official emails. This is a false narrative, once again, by the local paper to be able to create something that is completely false. I have over 3,000 to 4,000 emails, and we know that some of our IT people have been leaking our emails, and they've been going through, and this thing is, it's been vetted. That is a completely, totally false narrative by the local paper. Okay, which is it? He doesn't have any government official emails to delete, or he has 3,000 to 4,000 emails? And if it's the latter, why hasn't the OA received a single one pertaining to T2, despite at least two separate TPIA requests? To be clear, the law states elected officials must keep all email relating to public business. That means any email, not just an official government email. We know Hovind routinely uses his private Gmail account for official business. In fact, the T2 contract instructs them to send all correspondence to hovind4mayor@gmail.com. All of those emails are subject to the Public Information Act. Hovind also suggested the OA called Texas Monthly, asked them to write a story attacking the council, and even fed them questions. Not only did we not do that, but what an insult to Michael Hardy, the reporter who wrote the Texas Monthly article. Obviously, he'd been reading about the shenanigans of the council and decided to check it out on his own. What he saw at the January 24th city council meeting he attended obviously made him think a story was warranted. January 24th was the day a handful of local attorneys stood up in defense of Municipal Court Judge Carlos Rodriguez, whose job appeared to be on the chopping block. The attorneys tag-teamed the council and also questioned them about the salaries of the new interim city manager, Agapito Bernal, and interim city attorney, Dan Jones, and expressed shock Jones got the job, despite having been sanctioned by now-retired Ector County District Court Judge James Rush. Attorney Gavin Norris also expressed outrage. Hoven went way outside his lane to give Rodriguez direction on how to handle underage drinking cases. Hoven wrote, "I request that you consider the maximum penalty for any social host violations and for any minor in possession citations." The Texas Monthly article was well done and insightful, in our opinion. It is also embarrassing that these yahoos are running the city, and we are glad a national publication has also pointed that out. Hoven ducked out on the Texas Monthly reporter and didn't actually do an interview or phone interview, but instead responded via email with a short statement about unsubstantiated claims. That may be better than Councilwoman Denise Swanner. At least Hoven was not quoted in the article as saying he wanted some sort of control over Odessans and the media. Huh? Yes, that's right. Asked what her top priority was on the city council, Swanner told Hardy, "Well, you know, if you had any control over the public and the media, my priority would be to control them in some form, but that's never going to happen." Downright embarrassing and frightening indeed. As an aside, Hoven isn't the only one acting shady. When Swanner recently met with a local constituent and realized an OA reporter, Kim Smith, was going to be present, she strenuously objected to being recorded before eventually relenting. It turns out she or her husband secretly recorded the conversation themselves. It was making the rounds via email within the week. Texas law, by the way, states only one side of a conversation has to consent to being recorded. So she didn't do anything illegal, just shady. Hoven also took the opportunity to lie, again, about the OA's ongoing open records lawsuit against the city of Odessa. He went on and on about how the OA is suing the city because we want public records immediately, and how we should go to state lawmakers to change the rules rather than waste the taxpayer money going through courts. "We did not sue to get public records immediately. We sued to get the city of Odessa to release unredacted reports in a reasonable time frame. If those reports cannot be released in 10 days, the law states government entities must request an a Texas Attorney General's opinion and state which exceptions apply. We're okay with that time frame, but when we filed our lawsuit 3 years ago, the city was redacting information that was defined by law as open to the public. Moreover, they weren't meeting the 10-day time limit in every instance. And what is worse is that the city sometimes sent public records requests for attorney general review in cases that didn't warrant AG review because the material requested was basic who, what, when, where criminal incident information, which has to be produced for public inspection. It also bears repeating, yet again, that Hoven consistently lies when he says the city won that case. The city did not win. The judge in the case dismissed the lawsuit based on the city's claims that it eventually gave us the documents we sought. To be clear, the city only turned over the documents after we initiated legal action. In other words, we believe the city was gaming the system, delaying the timely request of public information, and ultimately doing so when it looked like they were getting into some legal hot water. Meanwhile, the public, who owned the information in the first place, was left to feel like a penny waiting for change. The judge did not state the city was right to withhold the records in violation of Texas law or to redact them in the first place, and that is why we appealed the ruling. So we want the Texas Court of Appeals to definitively say the city was in the wrong, so they can't do it again. Oh, and by the way, Hovind lied yet again about our parent company. Apparently, in an attempt to make us look as though we're outsiders who only care about money, not our community. AIM Media is not from the Midwest. AIM Media was formed in Texas, and its leadership and many of its investors live in Texas, including right here in Odessa. Hovind also lied when he described 8 stipulations we asked for while trying to settle the lawsuit. We didn't ask the city of Odessa to provide the daily weather to us. Yes, that's right. He told listeners we requested that. That's just flat out ludicrous. At some point along the line, someone casually mentioned weather reports are always considered open records and that weather conditions are sometimes part of police reports. Yet Hovind just had to twist it into another false narrative. Hovind also used his radio time to brag that the city attorney's office is a well-oiled machine now, despite losing 4 of its 6 attorneys since December. We had a $1.2 million payroll within our legal department, 16 employees. We radically reduced it, Hovind said. So the thing is, it's promises made, promises kept. We're making our city government smaller, leaner, and more effective and more accountable. Talk about a fairy tale. We radically reduced it, Hovind said. Sure, they fired city attorney Natasha Brooks, but assistant city attorney Lori Means accepted employment elsewhere. Senior assistant city attorney Monique Wimberly resigned, citing the disintegration of work environment. Political process became too intertwined with position. And another senior assistant city attorney, Jan Baker, said she was ready to retire. Baker has since elaborated on her reasons for quitting. It was too dangerous to be there, she said. I've had my bar license for 30 plus years, and I didn't want to lose it with what the mayor and his people were doing. They always blame legal when things go wrong, and I didn't want to lose my license over what they did. I didn't trust them, and I didn't want to lose my reputation or my license. And if the 2 lawyers left in the office were easily handling the workload, why is it a new attorney was recently hired? And why is there another assistant city attorney position listed on the city's website? The city's legal department has not been made leaner and more efficient due to council stewardship. It has been decimated because of a toxic and rabidly political junta supposedly led by Hovind, who sees himself as king, but is, in reality, merely a water boy for a group of power-hungry zealots, some of whom are too cowardly to let themselves be seen publicly playing their malicious games. Hovind also conveniently avoided mentioning exactly how much the city is now likely paying outside attorneys to handle legal matters. Kevin McKeithen is spending his days prosecuting folks in Odessa Municipal Court, and Jones is running in circles doing Hovind's bidding, including taking T2 reps out to lunch at the barn door. But who is vetting contracts? Who is answering city staff's legal questions? Who is overseeing Texas Public Information Act requests to make sure the proper things are being redacted and the law is being followed? Just how many TPIA requests get filed by random citizens, journalists, and lawyers? Haha, we filed a TPIA to find out. Nearly 4,000 TPIAs were filed in 2022, and just under 900 had been filed as of Wednesday this year. According to city documents, the city attorney's office has sought the Texas Attorney General's opinion in 198 of those requests, which requires an attorney to lay out all the legal reasons why they think records should be exempt from disclosure. It's a lot of work. So again, who is doing all of that work? What we can say is the council has contracts with Davidson Sheen for $195 to $375 an hour, and Kelly Hart and Hallman for $450 an hour. We know Davidson Sheen was hired to investigate the bullying claims filed by former downtown Odessa executive director Casey Hallmark, and to reinvestigate an already closed investigation into inquiries suffered by Odessa Fire Rescue cadets. Kelly Hart and Hallman was hired to defend the city against the Gavin Norris lawsuit filed after Brooks and Marrero were fired. At those rates, we would certainly hope the city hasn't also signed contracts with them to handle the routine legal matters of the city, especially since the city has already spent more than $254,000 defending themselves against a lawsuit the OA should never have had to file in the first place. The Odessa Development Corporation is also considering hiring outside attorneys to look over contracts on occasion. Promises made? Promises kept? Smaller government? That doesn't appear to be true. How much will all these new contract attorneys cost? Don't worry, we have filed a TPIA to find out if new contracts have been signed, what other firms they've hired, and how much has been spent on them. We'll report what we find out as soon as the city responds. We also suspect the price tag for lawyers is going to explode exponentially if former assistant manager Aaron Smith files a whistleblower lawsuit against the city. He was fired last week, and his attorney, former Ector County District Attorney Bobby Bland, said they believe it was in retaliation for asking the Texas Rangers and Texas Attorney General's office to see if Hoven violated the law by signing the T2 contract and violated the Open Meetings Act. Asked about Smith's firing following a council meeting Tuesday night, Hoven had this to say, "I want to make a statement. I have been advised that I cannot." There's an ongoing investigation, but I will tell you one thing. It's not what was reported, Hoven said. "I've asked when will this start and conclude because we need to make a statement." Hoven said he doesn't know who is investigating Smith. "I don't know. That's all I've been told. I can't say if it's HR or PD, Hoven said. He went on to say the separation of Aaron Smith had nothing to do with the city council. Bland on Friday said neither he nor his client have been advised of any investigations of Smith. Hovens previously declared he didn't even know who Aaron Smith was or when he was hired. He claimed he learned of his hiring from a community member. He's just adding to the narrative that he and other council members were kept out of the loop on city business by Marrero. It's a lie. Hoven and every other elected official and city employee were sent an email on November 15th about the hiring of Smith. Again, Hoven needs to stop with the fairy tales. The OA and the Texas Monthly aren't trying to take down conservatives. We're just trying to inform our readers. Want another example of hyperbole? Check out the following comment Hoven made during the radio show. "I think conservatives across the country, across the state, especially when they see this, they see what the rhetoric is. They see through the veil, the fake facade of the Texas Monthly, and I think what we're learning is that there are more communities that want their local entities, like their council, their school boards, to be more conservative, because this is the first line of defense from us losing our communities, losing our children, losing our freedoms." The sad and scary reality is that Hoven and the gang he is with have turned the time-honored purpose of city government on its ear. They see city leaders' role as political in nature, molding city workings around a political agenda. In reality, city government has always been intended to be apolitical, designed to help a city run, patching potholes, protecting the citizenry, fighting fires, paving streets, fixing busted water pipes. It ain't sexy, but it is oh so vital. And political party ideology should not have a place in the job description. The consequences are now clearly on display for all to see. And, how exactly is the Odessa American going to take anything away from the city by merely reporting facts gleaned from public records and meetings Mayor Hoven? We are merely providing information every single man, woman, and child has a right to know. In a free society, that is. Police, Stop the Fairy Tales. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Should I stop taking calcium supplements? Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 75-year-old man. My primary care physician said my recent blood test shows a high calcium level of 10.8 milligrams DL, and the nurse told me to stop all calcium intake until she got some further tests back. She even wanted me to stop my vitamin since it has calcium in it. I am worried because one of my supplements has calcium silicate as an ingredient. I don't want to stop it. It seems to be helping me. Answer. You probably have a condition called primary hyperparathyroidism, PHPT, which is caused by the parathyroid glands secreting too much parathyroid hormone. There are normally four parathyroid glands located around the thyroid gland, and they regulate blood calcium levels. Your primary care doctor is exactly right that further testing needs to be done to confirm the diagnosis. However, most people with PHPT do not need to reduce their calcium intake. Moreover, the calcium silicate in the supplement is likely present in tiny amounts and has only a negligible effect on blood calcium levels. Not everyone with PHPT requires surgery. Your primary care doctor will give you advice on vitamin D and calcium supplementation once she has more information.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, March 16th. Co-worker insists on picking up the check. Dear Abby, I have a colleague who has become an amazing friend over the last few years. We plan dinner dates or work conferences periodically, and we also try to book spa appointments together when we have vacation time. Sandy is everything a person would want in a friend. However, when we go out to eat, she usually insists on paying for my meal. She has also prepaid some of my spa appointments. When this pattern first started, I was a little put off, but I appreciated her generosity, maybe a little selfishly, because it saved me money. But now I feel constantly indebted to her because I can never seem to return the favor. When I insist on paying for myself, we argue and bicker. Sandy says she wants to show her appreciation for my partnership at work. She also explains that I have children who are assumedly expensive, whereas she is childless. She justifies it by rationalizing that her husband makes an impressive salary. They are comfortable, but not extravagantly wealthy. Lately, I have come to resent the situation because I don't want to feel like a charity case. Not only am I more than able to pay for myself, I also don't want to feel limited when ordering food. Knowing she's going to foot the bill makes me reluctant to order the food or beverage of my choosing. How do I approach this without tarnishing our professional work relationship and the friendship we have built? Is this the altruism of a selfless person and my ego getting in the way? Or is there a deeper motive I haven't considered? Signed, Treated Too Well. Dear Treated, I am going to assume that you have already communicated to Sandy that this dynamic makes you uncomfortable and why. If you haven't, do it now. She may be the soul of generosity, but some people use money as a means to control or dominate others. Not knowing Sandy, I can't guess what motivates her, but clearly the two of you should be able to have a mature conversation without anyone becoming defensive. Dear Abby, my niece's mother-in-law of 32 years, Helen, died 7 months ago. I have been quietly seeing her widowed husband, Wayne, for about 3 months now. We knew each other only socially up until then. After Helen's death, my niece, her husband, and their children went on vacation because Helen's illness had been a long, drawn-out ordeal. I was tasked with giving Wayne a nightly call to check on him which I did. We realized we had a lot in common and, as they say, the rest is history. The problem is telling his children and grandchildren. He and Helen were married 59 years, but didn't have a happy marriage for the last 23. Should we tell them or continue keeping it a secret? Signed, Unexpected Love in the East. Dear Unexpected, although you have no reason to be sneaking around, in my opinion, you should stay quiet for another few months until it has been a year since Helen's passing. At that point, Wayne should tell the niece and other relatives that he thinks you have a lot in common and you are going to see each other. In a perfect world, everyone would be glad that the two of you are finding happiness after so much sadness.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.